there, everyone. This is Braden and Tally Waller with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. And here we are another week into the Love and Purity series that we've got going. It's very fun just diving into this need for purity in our culture, in this generation. It's been really good. But why don't we talk a little bit about what we're kind of up to these days?
Yes, just launched our website just over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so loveandpurity.com, you can go on and see. We have our podcast up there, the previous podcast we've made. Mm-hmm. And we've got the little video, the little animated video that a friend of mine helped make. We want that to get out there. You know, if you look at that and want to just post it on Facebook or anything, just to get that message out, we want to really be an encouragement to our generation to pursue a different path. You know, mm-hmm. I've just been more aware recently of how devastating the path of lust is. And even Peter talks about it. He says the corruption. He says having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust in 2 Peter 1:4. Mm-hmm. So like there's an actual corruption in the world that's through lust. You know, lust mm-hmm. is causing corruption in people's lives. It's just like the fabric of society is falling apart because of lust. Mm-hmm. And wow, we want to be a voice calling people to something higher, something beautiful. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we want to get the word out that there is a better way. There's a way that, you know, men and women can love each other in a righteous way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a corrupt thing.
Right. And it's the blessing. There's a blessing, great blessing that comes to a culture that embraces this.
Right.
You know, that embraces, purity of heart.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So we're going to be touching on that today. Just talking about the blessing that comes along and the curses that go along with not following the way of the word.
Yeah. So yeah, if it seems really daunting to listen to who knows how many half hour sessions of Braden and Tally talking, you could just go to our website and watch this little video clip. And it's all that we're talking about in this little 5 minute nutshell. And it's cute and it's fun. It's great. Isaac Anderson did a great job putting that together. So yeah, make sure to go and check that out and sign up for our email update list to get further updates about the ministry, because we're actually going to be doing a Sukkot gathering here in the fall. Bizrat Hashem.
We've helped do it in Israel, but as far as on one ourselves, this is going to be a new adventure.
Yes, yes. So we look forward to everyone's excited volunteering hearts to help us.
Right.
So we're excited about that. And yeah, so if you sign up for updates, you'll be able to stay connected to what we're up to. Oh, we're also talking about doing a Bible memory podcast.
Yes, something we're very excited about.
Yeah, so we'll update you more on that when we get that going here. Mm-hmm. In the midst of all of this, we're also saying goodbye to lots of friends and family heading over to Israel. So mm-hmm. that's been going to be going on for the next couple weeks too. People leaving out every couple weeks or every couple days. Mm-hmm. It's sad, but it's also exciting. We're going to go into a new season we've never been in before, being here alone in the States.
That's right.
So it's exciting. We're glad we have each other, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And our sweet, sweet children and my dear mom and dad.
Yeah.
And Braden's grandmother.
Yes.
It's going to be great, a party. So here we go. We're going to talk. We're going to continue talking about dating problems today. Mm-hmm. And just some of the issues that there are before we jump into the answer, the path of holiness, the path of purity. Mm-hmm. Betrothal, we'll throw out that word right now and explain it later, the path that God led Braden and I on. But we're excited to get into that. But we're gonna continue talking a little bit today about the problems that we have. And we're going to go back to history, you know, because we're talking about seeking the ancient paths, right? Mm. And so we're going to go and we're going to go back into history a little bit. We're going back to, 100 so years ago,
right.
When courtship was the norm. So we just wanted to talk a little bit about that and what the difference is there. So courtship is like, what is that?
I would define courtship as a relationship that's built by a single young woman, single young man, that's in the context of family. Uh-huh. So back in the 1920s, 1930s, this was a commonplace scene in American homes where, you know, a young man's interested in a young lady, he goes, hangs out with the family. And mm-hmm. so this is in stark contrast to the dating scene where young people are going off on their own to mm-hmm. movies, you know, dates, to restaurants and things like that. Mm-hmm. So this was a safe context just to get to know each other and to be within the parameters of a family. You know, mm-hmm. you have the father's present, the mother's present, and there's just a strong safety net there from getting into youthful lust within that family context.
Yeah, which I think there were probably several different versions of courtship back then, mm-hmm. just like there's several different versions of dating today. And then there also is a movement within the homeschool movement and stuff of doing courtship today.
Yeah.
Which I think Joshua Harris was the one that he had written this book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, mm-hmm. right? And that kind of sparked this movement of courtship. Unfortunately, he's reneged on that, right?
Yes. He's actually not going along with that anymore. A totally different mindset on that now.
Yeah, but so you know, there's different perspectives on things with that. But just going back to the courtship thing, so the problem, I guess, the reason why it kind of developed into the dating thing was because I think in a lot of situations the family almost got too involved and they started, you know, not really caring what the girl thought or, you know. And so it started becoming this issue of like, you know, they wanted to marry for economic stability or political things or whatever it was. And so, so that's the reason why I think there was this, this
you're talking about like way back, like arranged marriages, more like that, where like kings would marry off their daughters to other kings so they would keep their status, you know, keep a peaceful, in between the two kingdoms.
I don't know. I think early 1900s though, that people wanted their daughters to marry someone who was going to be able to, you know, which of course you still want that today, like someone who's going to be financially stable and stuff like that. But I think that there was probably such a pressure put on young people to marry for, you know, these reasons, you know, because outside of God and parents really seeking God, like who is the one, mm-hmm. you know, you go to your natural makeup of how do we find a husband? Well, we have to find someone with a good job and we have to find someone that does this or likes
this. So you're just saying taking out the emotional element of it. The parents were not really aware of this emotional element. So young people were seeking to get out of that and just, you know, to just awaken their
emotions. Freedom
dating
from,
was allowing that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's partially why they kind of,
they felt stifled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, develops into dating, and then the dating has gone through quite an interesting evolution as it's, you know, started in the 20s. And now we've gotten to today where dating is all kinds of craziness and where we've got internet dating and phone dating. And I mean, there's all kinds of stuff and it's led to all kinds of problems in our culture today, just because it's basically the attitude of sending off the youth to go discover what love is, how it hurts, and figure it out for yourself, kind of a thing. Well, it's led to quite a lot of problems, and so Braden's going to talk about just some of the statistics that we have in our culture today here in America.
Yes, an article I found by Michael Snyder. This was written in 2014, so things have actually gotten significantly worse since then. But here's some stats that are pretty shocking. Approximately one-third of the entire population of the United States, it's about 110 million people, currently has a sexually transmitted disease, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So one-third of our population. It's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, what Peter was right. He said there's a corruption that comes to the world when you allow lust, mm-hmm. and when that goes unchecked, the corruption comes in.
Yeah,
you know, people get sick with diseases. People, you know, families fall apart. Just corruption happens when families fall apart and people are just motivated only by lust. Mm-hmm. Another thing here: America has the highest sexually transmitted disease infection rate in the entire industrialized world. Our nation here, you know, that has turned its back turned its back on a righteous standard.
Right.
And but now we're paying. Mm-hmm. And here's the curse. The highest rate of sexually transmitted diseases in the entire industrialized world. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing. You had something there?
Nope. I was just going to say this is what freedom leads to. Like, we're supposedly a free country, and now we're stuck with all kinds of medications and trying to figure out what to do with all these diseases. But but we're free.
So. Yeah. I was reading an article some of the scientists are trying to come up with all the drugs to control these diseases, and said we're at the near breaking point of trying to figure out how to control this epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it is a serious problem in our country right now. Another here we have, the United States has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the entire industrialized world. So here we go again. We've just fed this idea of, you know, go out and do what makes you feel good, and that's what's going to, you know, lead to a happy life. But we see that that's not the case. You know, a lot of destruction comes from that. Here we go. It has been estimated that 89% of all pornography is produced in the United States. So here again, you know, when a culture embraces just this whole lust-driven culture, then, wow, you know, the United States used to be known for sending out missionaries, you know, to these, you know, it had a righteous name, but now look what we're sending out. 89% of all pornography is produced in the United States.
Yeah.
That's a horrific stat.
Yeah, and I also just wanted to point out, too, that these problems are even, they're becoming such big problems that even non-religious people and there's actually non-religious organizations out there that are trying to bring awareness to the problem. Like even with this whole issue of pornography and stuff and addictions, there's organizations out there completely outside of the church that's saying, we are killing our people through this. Like it is so bad for your health.
Right.
That it's a health concern. It's become a very big health concern, within marriage. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
They've even done, like, you know, they can take a picture of your brain. They can an X-ray of your brain. And so they've taken X-rays of people.
It's not an X-ray, but it's something.
Well, yeah, like whatever. Yeah, whatever. Scanning the brain. Kelly knows more about medical stuff than me. Whatever. They scan the brain. They can see what's going on inside the brain. And in these people, they've tested people that were addicted to cocaine. And they have these what look like wormholes in their brain, like where this addiction has just totally just...
You said addicted to cocaine?
Addicted to cocaine, yeah. Okay. And so then they compare those people that had a cocaine addiction to people that have pornography addiction, and their brains look almost identical. Huh. So that addiction has such a mind-altering effect on people. And so this is something that we have to be very aware of, that this is something that can just destroy your mind. But also what they've found out, people that have studied the brain is actually made up of a substance about the consistency of butter,
like
room temperature butter. And so it can be easily configured in a way. So there's hope for renewal of our minds. You know, God made our brains in such a miraculous and amazing way that we can renew our minds. You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, I just want to encourage my generation out there that, you know, people that are stuck in these addictions, there is hope. We need to get the word of God. This is why we're so enthusiastic about memorizing the word. Because the word has a healing power. And if we can get the word in our meditations, as Psalm 1 says, day and night, that is our hope of regaining our minds as a culture. Mm-hmm. And so we want to really encourage that. Yeah. Another stat, America has the highest divorce rate in the world by a good margin. So all this, you know, all these things are just letting us know that the path of lust, seduction, all these things lead to a very, very bitter end. Mm-hmm. And we need to have a serious course correction. If our country is going to come out of this.
Yeah. And I just wanted to point out too that I think the reason why the divorce rate is so high in America is that we still cling to marriage as a
value,
Whereas we talk about like Europe and Sweden, Norway, Iceland kind of places. And
they're not getting married anymore.
They're not getting married anymore. So that's why their divorce rate has gone down dramatically. But America is still in that place where we still, you know, I mean, we're talking with these statistics here. We're talking about this is going on in our churches here.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is going on in the church. This is going on in, you know, in God, you know, God fearing communities, yeah. unfortunately.
And what gets me the most, it's almost like Hezekiah, where, you know, Isaiah, I believe it was Isaiah, you know, prophet brings him this word about, you know, the destruction that's going to come to his children. And he says, well, at least it won't happen in my days. Mm-hmm. And I see that kind of apathetic approach in some people's approach to these serious issues. And wow, there is a hurricane of destruction coming to our culture if we don't face these issues head on. And I just do not want to have that same approach as Hezekiah has. Well, at least, you know, we're experiencing the devastation of it on many levels right now. But left unchecked, it's going to be horrific, just totally horrific. Yeah. And so we have to have a very engaged and, you know, let's cry out to God for a change, mm-hmm. and that he would help us to overcome these things, because it's only leading to hell, really. Mm-hmm. Right. If we stay on this path, it's leading to hell.
Yeah, and I feel like we need to really press in and pray for the fear of God.
Right.
To be, that we would be, that our, us as a culture, that we would fear God more than we fear man.
Right.
Because I think that a lot of the older generation sees it happening, and the fear of man is so strong that you don't want to offend people, you don't want to step on toes, you don't want to correct your child because they probably might not understand or something like that. So there's this, we have to pray that the fear of God rises up in us in this generation, that we're able to be a voice along with love, right?
Right.
Along with love, the fear of God and love, that we would be able to be a voice in our generation to cry out and say, do you see where this is leading?
Right.
You know, this is a path of destruction, and we need to get off this path, you know,
right.
Just a voice to cry out, and not be scared of the repercussions of that. There's going to be, just like we talked about with John the Baptist, you know, there's repercussions that come mm-hmm. at times. So we have to really be willing to stand and be a voice.
Yeah. I love this picture. I heard someone explain the way that the fear of God and love works, and they're talking about driving a car. And how love is kind of like the gas pedal. It keeps you motivated. You know, the love of God, when you experience the love of God, his great love for you, you're so motivated to live for him, to love others. And, you know, it just keeps you on the highway, keeps you going on the highway. But when you get tempted by sin and, you know, you're tempted to veer off of that lane, you need to have that brake pedal right there, which is the fear of God, to just hit that brake pedal and go, no, I'm not going that direction. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love that, just that picture of how the fear of God and the love of God work together uh-huh. to keep us on the straight and the narrow path. Mm-hmm. And so we can't do without either of them. Mm-hmm. We have to have the love of God in our hearts burning, but we also have to have the fear of the Lord, which, as Proverbs says, is to depart from evil. Mm-hmm. If we have the fear of the Lord, then we're going to depart from evil, because we know that our God is seeking righteousness. He's seeking purity. He wants us to walk in these things for our own good, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like sometimes you can hear these messages and it can be like, oh, God just wants to keep me from all the fun I could have. No, God wants you to live the fullest life, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, this could be suffering at times, but, and it's not all just based in this life, you know, the pleasure we have in this life. But I'm just saying that sometimes we get off track by thinking that God is just trying to withhold from us, you know, blessings. But no, God, he's so full. His heart is so abundant. He wants us to walk in blessing and life and goodness. Yeah. And this is the path that we need to embrace.
It's not the monk approach,
right?
Where you have to, it's like, you know, that all of God's rules were put there just to torture us. And if we torture ourselves even more
right.
than following the rules, then you're really in good standing with God. You know, if you just really are tortured, it's like, it's not the
right.
God, you know, and it's good to understand God's, righteousness, peace, and joy, the kingdom. This is the kingdom, right? There's
yeah.
joy. And even in trials, there's joy.
Right.
And so, you know, we don't miss out on anything. There is fullness of joy in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so we know that as we follow the path that he puts before us, this righteous path, that we will experience the fullness of joy. Because, you know, even with these other things, there's pleasure for a period of time and great destruction that comes afterwards,
right.
the consequence of it. So this is not true joy. This mm-hmm. is not true pleasure or
yeah. Well, the
blessing.
Scripture talks about the deceitfulness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks so appealing. It looks so desirable, just like that fruit that Eve, you know, was tempted to eat.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so desirable, but yet once you taste it, once you've partaken of it, then it only leads to a curse. And so, yeah, we need to keep going in the straight and narrow. That's what's going to lead to life, mm-hmm. life abundant.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about that series, or just mention that series that you've gone through with guys before? before the...
Yeah, there's a series, I recommend it. It's very well done. It's called the Conqueror Series. And this is a series that has a very high success rate in helping guys get over the addiction of pornography. And so I recommend it. I've seen it, and it's very well done. So yeah, if people are interested in a resource to do as a group, I recommend this
yeah,
resource.
That's really good.
So we want to look at a little bit here, a story in the Bible that goes along with this theme. And this is the story of Balaam. And we want to look at Numbers chapter 25. And what's interesting, if we back up just a little bit before we get to this chapter, it's Balaam and Balak are up in the mountains surrounding Israel out encamped in this valley below. And Balak is desperately trying to get Balaam to curse Israel. But he said, I can only speak what the Lord gives me to say. And so, you know, Balaam is he just keeps on speaking what God gives him to say. And it's only blessing. It's blessing, blessing, blessing. So Balak is really frustrated. It's like, all right. So then they just, you know, after this series of events, you know, he just is not cursing them. Then it looks like they give up. Well, we have this right after this whole situation. We look at Numbers chapter 25. And it says, now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. So what happened? You know, he was not able to verbally curse Israel, but then all of a sudden Israel brings a curse upon themselves. And when we look further on in the book of Numbers, we look at Numbers chapter 31, verse 15. And this is Moses. He says, Moses said to them, have you kept all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam. Balaam, evidently, after Balak, you know, tried to get him to curse Israel, he then leaves that whole scenario. And Balaam says to Balak, you know what? I'm not going to be able to prophesy curses over Israel. But I tell you what, if you want to see Israel destroyed, this is what you do. You get these women to go out there and seduce the men, and they'll fall apart from the inside. Mm-hmm. So, wow, the schemes of the enemy are so crafty. Mm-hmm. So Moses recognized this. He recognized that Balaam counseled Balak to put these women out there for the men of Israel to be seduced by, to get them to fall. And so it says, to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So we see this reoccurring theme throughout history even. You know, Satan has a very difficult time cursing God's people from without, you know, from outside, like, you know, to speak a curse on them, to do, you know, there's a shield that God places around his people, you know, a spiritual shield. But if Satan can get believers to commit immorality, sexual sins, then he can cause a curse to come upon them from the inside. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're facing in our culture today, is there's a curse coming upon the people that they are bringing on themselves. And this is what we see Balaam trying to bring on the people of Israel. And we have to be aware of that and not be ignorant of the devil's schemes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so important to understand the battle plan of the enemy, and to have our guard up and understand what's surrounding us, what the enemy's scheme is, just so we can be strong and stand in that place. So, it's really good. Do you want to, there's one more parable, just so that it's not all darkness and depressing.
Right.
We're going to, Braden's going to talk here about a parable that
Yeshua talked. This is a very encouraging parable to me, because, you know, we're talking about, the past two podcasts, we've been talking about the problems. Okay? There's some very obvious problems, and it's important to recognize that there's problems in order to go, you know, to get beyond those problems. But Yeshua tells a parable in Matthew, and he talks about the wheat and the tares. And I'll just summarize, you know, there's this farmer that has a field. An enemy comes in and sows tares in his field, which is weeds. Sows weeds in this field that he has wheat in. So the servants come to the farmer and say, what are we going to do? Or should we go out there and try to pull up all these weeds that are out in the wheat field? And the farmer says, no, just let them all grow until the harvest. And then we'll harvest them, and we'll separate them out when the harvest comes. So, and Yeshua says, this is what it's going to be like in the end of the age, when the final, you know, when the when the kingdom comes, then there's going to be this reaping of the earth, and there's going to be a full maturity that comes to righteousness and a full maturity that comes to wickedness. And I like to ask people sometimes, I say, have you seen the maturity that's coming to wickedness in our world?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, it's very obvious.
Yeah.
Wickedness is coming to maturity. But what's encouraging to me about this parable is that at the same time, righteousness is coming to maturity. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that generation that's setting themselves apart to mature in righteousness, mm-hmm. and to become that. I just love to think of that full head of wheat that's just, you know, it's just ready to be harvested. And I want to be encouraging to the people out there that are seeking that, and to be a part of that people that is mature in righteousness. This is the people mm-hmm. that Yeshua is going to come back for as a pure bride,
yeah.
a generation that is pure, set themselves apart from the corruption of this world. And that's what we want to be a part of. So when we see, you know, all the devastation, the horrific things that are happening in our world, be encouraged at the same time that righteousness is also maturing. There is a hope even in the midst of the darkness, and we have to cling to that hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, it's, you know, it doesn't sound like within this parable that there's any place for in between, right? There's no on the fencers. Like, there's no like, well, you know, I don't want to be get involved in the real bad stuff, but you know, those Christians that are super zealous for purity and righteousness, they're a little overboard too. You know, it's like, it seems like it's going to get to a point that there's going to have to be a choice.
There'll be no fence riders.
There's no fence riders, right? And neither Brayden or I are saying that we know who is on what side and fence riders or whatever.
Right.
We in no way, you know, live life
we
that way.
We want to encourage the wheat as much as possible.
But we want to, yeah, we want to encourage, you know, like Brayden said, we see wickedness on the rise. We see that. And so we're forced to make a decision. Am I going to,
go along
with that? Cause that's the easy path, you know, and people don't realize that, but that is the culture is going that way in crowds, you know, this is the flow of the culture. And to stand against that, to do something different, it's going to take some guts. It's going to take some real tenacity to really stand and say, you know what? No. And you know what? The more I see this wickedness, the more it's going to drive me to in my pursuit of holiness.
Right.
And the more I see the downfall of the culture, the more I'm going to go up. I want to go up. I want to raise my standards. I want to walk in a pure place. And so I pray that is all of our hearts as we all prepare for this wedding that is coming. It's going to be an amazing day, worth every bit of strength that it takes to stand in this place. So we bless you with that. Stand, make the choice to walk in righteousness, and be blessed.